Hello and welcome. I'm Luke Burridge, and this is the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. It's the show where I review every science fiction book that I read as I read them. It's not a weekly show or a daily show or anything like that. It's just whenever I read a book, I review it, and then here it is. If you want to know more about the podcast, just check out podcast number one, episode number one of the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast, and you can find that on iTunes or any other kind of feed reading software, or just go to the website of this podcast, which is sfbrp.com, and you'll find all the information you need there. So, on with today's show. This one is the book that I'm going to be reviewing today is Robert A. Heinlein, and it's called The Door into Summer. It's a classic book. I thought I'd read this before. It turns out I hadn't done, because I would have remembered more about it than I did when I was reading it. Of course, I didn't remember anything. So this is a time travel book, and it's set in a past future world, which is, I guess, a way of saying, like, the past, the way the future would look to someone in the past. So it was written long ago of a time already in the past. So the main parts of the story take place, I think, in 1970 and in the year 2000. So it's different from most time travel books and stories because it uses, like, not just one time travel method, but quite a few different time travel methods to get backwards and forwards in time. And it's a mystery book as well, so what's actually going on is a mystery, so I can't talk all the way through the story, or very much of the story here, because I really don't want to give too much of it away. So in 1970, Daniel Davis, who's the main sort of protagonist of the story, is an inventor, and he owns a company, and his wife and his business party sort of swindle him out of his business. This is what you find out at the very beginning of the book. So you actually join the book, and it picks up with Daniel telling his story. He's drunk, and he's thinking about what to do. So he wants to kill himself, no, take revenge, nothing like that. So instead, he decides to take what's known as the door into summer, the door into the better life, which involves putting himself into a cold sleep program, which was developed by the military, and it's to make people sleep, go into hibernation for a long time. So he decides to wake up 30 years later in the year 2000, and then he can live off his money that is invested with the company that's frozen him, or is looking after his body. And in the future, he'll have lots of money, and his wife and his business partner will be gone, or they'll be old, and he don't need to worry about them at all. Thing is, he's a drunkard, and when he turns up to get himself frozen, he's too drunk to go into cold sleep, so the doctor sends him away. And when he goes away, he decides that he is going to go and see his wife and his business partner and try and sort things out. So when he visits them, that's where the story really starts getting interesting and starts kicking off. Things go wrong for him, and he ends up in a different cold sleep facility, and he wakes up in the year 2000, and he's got no money this time, and he's got nothing to do, and then things start getting really mysterious, because his inventions that he used to invent are now all around him. He recognizes his inventions and what's going on, but they made under different names and by different companies, and so he decides to get to the bottom of the mystery, and to do that he has to find a way back into 1970. Of course, it's a time travel story, lots of mystery stuff going on. I can't give anything more than that away in plot line terms. So just about the story, I really enjoyed this story. It's a real fun story. I love time travel stories anyway, but this is a standout time travel story because it's a mystery, and there's clues spread through two different time zones, and you don't know when some of the clues will come into existence, or if stuff it's already done, or it might be stuff that he's going to do in the future, or in the future in the past, and nothing's really clear until, like, the last section, like the last maybe 10 or 15 pages of the book. And also, normally time travel stories, you just look at it and go, no, that wouldn't work, there's too many paradoxes, whereas then this, there's like minimal paradoxes that could happen, and it's mainly because Dan, as the main hero, is very ignorant of what's going on for most of the book, or a good part of the book, and us as the readers, we're pretty much just as ignorant as he is, so there's not as many things that can go wrong paradox wise of course, it's still there, but to a much lesser degree, And it's interesting to see how it all unfolds. The characters of the book, pretty weak compared to, like, the main protagonists in most stories, and with Heinlein heroes, it's always a first-person narrative, like Heinlein is well known for, but the only thing that actually stands out as the character of Dan Davis is how clever he is and how clever he thinks he is. And it's always like, you know, heroes of books, they're always quite clever, but Heinlein always wants you to know how clever his heroes are, because they're pretty much like a young version of Heinlein himself, or a person that Heinlein wants to be. So in extension, it's Heinlein saying, hey, look how clever I am. And of course, Daniel Davis, he actually works as, or he is an inventor and an engineer, and Heinlein worked as an engineer himself for the army, and so did Daniel Davis. So it's like a lot of the character traits are there from Heinlein straight through into Daniel Davis. So it's not that interesting as a main character. He's pretty weak, but it's not about the characters of this book. It's about the plot and the concepts behind it. One of the most interesting characters that is mentioned is Pete, the cat, Dan's cat. And he's like the person that Dan can talk to get his feelings out and to talk to about different ideas. And we actually get to know Dan quite well. And it's one of the main motivations of Dan. Is to actually get his cat back again, because he sort of loses his cat early in the story. But there's not actually anything the cat does. It's just a sounding board in a way for Daniel to have a cat there that he can talk to. Otherwise, the cat, it could have been anything. You know, it could have been a dog, a pet hamster, whatever it is. And there's only one point in the whole story where the cat actually has any contribution to the plot at all. I mean, it's fun. The cat's a fun character, but doesn't add a lot. Another character which I found was a bit weird was the love interest, Dan's love interest, and that's an 11-year-old girl called Ricky, who calls Daniel uncle. And that's the main kind of, oh, it's not a kind of sexual relationship, but it's sort of like an agreement for sexual relations in the future. It's a really weird thing that happens when a 30-year-old ex-army engineer asks an 11-year-old girl to marry him, and she says yes, and they give each other a ring, and it's just a really weird thing. It's a time travel story, so, you know, they get even, everything evens out, and you know it's going to happen, you know that's the kind of thing that's going to go on, but looking back, you know, in hindsight, and at the time, it is quite disturbing to see that kind of things written down. Sort of makes you wonder what Heinlein was thinking at the time and where he's coming from. But of course, if you've ever read many Heinlein books, you'll know that kind of thing is, you know, quite normal, or actually quite tame for Heinlein. Of course, because it's a Heinlein book, there is nudity and there is a nudist camp and things go like that, so we'll tick that off for a Heinlein book. But it's, you know, of course, Heinlein's juvenile novels didn't do that, but pretty much every other one visits a nudist camp or has some kind of stuff going on. And the front cover of the book, just checking out here, nice green cover of the book with a swirly kind of thing going on, a woman with naked breasts on the front of the book, which is quite interesting. Of course, it's sci-fi and there's technology and stuff like that, so I mean, I didn't actually mention what kind of technology or inventor Daniel Davis is, because it doesn't have any like relevance to the storyline itself. The only technology that does have relevance is the time travel devices, really, and they're really good fun, actually, the way that he moves backwards and forwards in time, and especially reading about the two guinea pigs is fun. It's great to get your mind around that kind of stuff, but everything else seems to just be tacked on. It doesn't have a lot of relevance to the story. Daniel could be inventing anything as long as it's sort of earns money and is going to be popular in the future. He actually designs robots, but it could have been cars or alarm clocks or anything like that. So yeah, it's not a whole lot of relevance to the story, except you do get these moments of like, oh yeah, because Heinlein is predicting things that's going to take place in the future, which are now really boring. He wrote this book in 1956, and things that he predicted would be common by 1970 have taken place, and even things that are common in 2000 have taken place, and they're now boring because, you know, I just, you know, it's just not even things you think about. Like, he predicts there'll be a time when you can access your bank account from anywhere in a whole city. And I can't remember a time when there weren't ATM machines and credit cards and things like that. So that's there as well. Also, he does talk a bit about military technology filtering down into consumer goods and things that people can use, including the robotic control system that he uses. And there's a cool zombie drug mentioned as well. But otherwise, there's not a whole lot of interesting technology. Or there, it is interesting, but it just doesn't click with the rest of the story. Another thing that I didn't like quite so much about this is because Heinlein is imagining two futures. He's writing in 1956. He's imagining 1970 and the year 2000. They seem to blur a little bit. There's not a lot, whole lot to distinguish between them. If he had written about either one of those days, or even one of those dates, But without actually saying where he was up to in the story, I don't think I could have told the two kind of cultures apart, the two Americas apart. And I think that 30 years difference, you just walk out your front door, you'd know exactly where you are, and that should have come through a bit stronger in the writing. So that pretty much wraps up the review. I'm going to give this book 4.5 stars out of 5. And on my scale, that means you should buy the book and read it and probably read it again in another 10 years' time. And you'll probably still enjoy it just as much. It's one of those like long-term classic books. It doesn't get 5 stars, mainly because of the lack of the depth in the main character. And like I say, some of these minor quibbles with the technology and the writing. But if it had just gone a bit further in depth into some of the things, I'd have been a lot happier, and I could have got to know the characters a bit better and been a lot more comfortable with them along the way. And but the book, it's only, let me just check, it's 200 pages or so, I just check here, 190 pages long, so you can get through it quite quick. I read it in a day and a half, just a few evenings of reading there. And it races on, it goes pretty quick, so there's no hanging around with this one. So have a read. It's a really good one. Next book I'm going to read and do the next podcast is something a bit more modern. I've been doing quite a lot of these old books so far. So I'm going to do an Alistair Reynolds book, and it's called Diamond Dogs, Turquoise Days. I've got that ready to read next. If you've got any things to say to me, you can email me at luke@juggler.net or go along to the website, which is sfbrp.com. You can find out all the information there. Listen to the first podcast if you haven't yet, and you'll have everything explained to you and things like that. If you've got any suggestions of other Heinlein books that I should read, I've read quite a lot of them, but there's still quite a few I've not read. So if you've got a favourite Heinlein book, put it in and I'll have a read and maybe give a review, or you send along your views as well. And if you've got anything that you want to say about Alistair Reynolds before I read this book, send in that email too. So thanks a lot. My name's Luke Burridge. I'll catch you next time.